Good morning. Today is Thursday, December the 5th. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department, pinch hitting for the big boy, J.D. Bro. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
All right. So much for the formalities. Are you ready for our daily quiz?
You know, having heard you do this many mornings, I thought about looking up the book or getting it in advance and trying to really show
you study
stop
for
this.
No, good Lord.
I'd rather wing it.
That would imply that there was effort. And lager beer. How did lager beer get its name?
I'm going to guess it's not having to do with lager because I know it's spelled differently. Does it have something to do with the type of hops or brewing process?
No, actually, the word lager in German means storehouse. The barrels of lager beer are placed in a storehouse for the contents to age.
As simple as
that's
that.
You've probably, well, I don't know if you've ever had people say you're overthinking it.
I overthought
that. Yeah, exactly.
I have a history of doing that sometimes.
Yeah.
So. Well, the problem is I've heard you do many more elaborate and complex ones.
Oh, you want one? Okay.
And so I was really thinking this was going to be deep. And
tough one?
You hit me with one that was literally the beer's named Storehouse because it was stored in.
All right, let's see if we can get this one. Mardi Gras. Where did Mardi Gras get the name?
Like why or where? I mean, is it where Louisiana or some French origination?
Again, it's a definitional.
You know, I'm going to guess that Mardi Gras is something derived from maybe another language like Latin or something like that, which means something else, but I don't know what they mean.
From French, and literally means Fat Tuesday.
You threw me that
one. You got a couple of hanging curveballs here, and you're so wound up.
I was never a great baseball player.
Yeah, so. Apparently not. Oh, gee. So the sheriff decided to not show up during the holiday season, huh? What's that all about?
He's taking a much-needed and deserved vacation. He works incessantly to fulfill his oath to the county, and once in a while, he takes a vacation. It's actually funny you bring that up because even though he's out of the country, he has still somehow managed to text and email me. And I respond because he's my boss and I'm supposed to. But every time I've responded, I've told him, turn off your phone.
Yeah,
go be on vacation. Yeah. Unless there's a cataclysm while you're gone, all this will be here waiting for you when you get back. You know, go enjoy yourself.
He's probably listening
dedicated.
Right now.
I would if there's a way to listen to this where he's at, he probably
the streaming thing and yelling at his phone.
Yeah,
he's Fat Tuesday.
Probably thinking I'm gonna talk
because we know him. That Hansel is very well versed in French.
I did not know that.
Neither did I. No, it's more the Mardi Gras thing he's well versed in.
I'm not gonna. Pretend
he's gonna
to
now
know
have
that.
To defend himself in January.
I'll let him come back and defend himself.
Fair enough. Now, some folks may remember you as being part of EPD.
At one time, yes.
All right. Or recognize the family name.
That is more of the icebreaker that I hear, although it depends on the clientele. I mean, I've met a lot of people that may like me or not like me from my personal life or my, you know, my family, or more so being in coming up on my 18th year in law enforcement. I meet people that I have helped and that appreciate it, and maybe some people that don't appreciate what I tried to help them with. So, and that's I mean, you could lose sleep over that, but as long as you know you did right by people and had that moral compass in place, I still hang my head high knowing that I tried to do the right thing. So,
what's it like? You know, there are some of us, it's always intriguing talking to another local. And I'm sorry, folks, local means born here, not moved here 6 months ago. I guess that's the current definition at the county level.
I think it's a moving target.
Yeah, okay, fine. Do you find that it's beneficial, helpful, or does it even enter into the thought process much?
In regards to a career in law enforcement?
Yeah.
I think it definitely plays in. I think that early on in my career was probably the hardest, being born and raised here. You know, having to take a job like law enforcement, which is most of the time keeping the peace, sometimes enforcing the law, it is difficult because you will come into contact with people that you have associations through via family, friendships, schoolmates.
Yeah, went
like
to
that.
School with. And,
you know, I mean, law enforcement's interactions with people, I mean, the negative ones get the notoriety. The good ones don't always. So
well, hopefully you're the good one. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with J.D. Bro from Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. J.D., as you look around the area, you've seen the changes. I have. It's kind of fun to play a little bit with Rexy and Virginia when they come in, you know, because we all kind of grew up and knew stuff. Are you excited about what you see? I mean, you're seeing a different side of what a lot of us see. Are you excited at what you sense, the direction things are going, the changes that are kind of in the offing? Are you pumped about the future for your hometown?
I think I try to stay infinitely positive because it's too easy to backslide into pessimism. So, I mean, I'm going to always be hopeful that we can overcome the challenges that this county has. I think that there's just still a lot of good people, like, and it's still, in a lot of ways, is kind of down home. You know, we have big city crime, we have problems, but there's still enough good people and roots of people that want that, you know, wholesome community that we're fighting back a lot of the scourge that's taking over communities across the United States. That being said, the epidemic of opioid addiction and abuse scares me. The violence that we're seeing increasing at younger ages. And
That's the weird thing. I mean, you tapped into that, so you know, ding, ding, ding. Okay, you win. Seeing the violence, you know, and I don't know if that's lack of having a regulator when people were growing up, so that anything that they do is okay, or if it's the byproduct of the drug use that is being used. But the wild swings and it's different.
Yeah, and I don't want to come across as if I'm portraying myself as something I'm not, as far as my background or knowledge, but I don't want to you know, hit the hornet's nest on one side or the other, saying, you know, school violence or the general change in
all's
our,
bad's all's good. Yeah.
I don't want to say it's all this or all that, but I mean, it definitely to me appears a byproduct of at least the desensitizing of our youth in one way or another, whether that be through video games or movies or just the, you know, the exposure that kids have to things that they maybe wouldn't have due to, you know, access to internet being so quick and varied. I mean, there's always been violence in our history. I mean, it's part of what is in our DNA. There is, that part of us that uses violence as a way to accomplish things or to communicate for some people. But it definitely seems that it's on an uptick, and maybe that's because it's more publicized and more widely known because of our advances in communications. But it definitely makes me feel like, I mean, if I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about it, concerned as a father, as a member of this community, as, you know, having a role with the sheriff's office, you know, being part of this agency that's a guardian of the public, both their safety and their dignity.
Yeah, but you don't get the cool spaceship.
I
as being a guardian. I'm sorry.
Not one of those guardians.
No.
but I'm big on the title guardian, because I think our job, if you go back, trace the history of what law enforcement is, I think it's more about keeping the peace than law enforcement. I think enforcing laws is a tool that allows us to keep the peace.
Yeah, peace officer.
Right. Peace officer, I think, is a more fitting title than law enforcement officer, because law enforcement is a tool and we do that. And that is a big part of our job to maintain order. But we don't always enforce the law to keep the peace. And I think keeping the peace isn't always about, you know, whether there's a violation of the law or not. A lot of times in my career, I've solved problems without enforcing any laws. It's a matter of talking to people. And honestly, one of the biggest things that anybody in this career that hasn't learned yet that should learn is that letting people feel like they're heard, letting people have a voice, you know, whether you actually cared or not, which you should if you're empathetic and compassionate. But if, you know, letting people have a forum to express why they're upset. What's wrong? Were they victimized? Do they feel something? They were wronged in some way. You know, a lot of people, if they aren't heard, they never get that off their chest. They never get to move on. So being a good listener, I think, is a very important skill.
When you are interacting with some of these folks that are in these drug-induced states, I guess is a simple way to say it, do they communicate clearly? I mean, do they have stories, or do you have to wade through some of the stuff? I mean, because we've all seen the folks walking on the streets that are talking to their guardian angel, I guess. And you wonder, okay, can they really communicate coherently?
I would like to give a disclaimer first that in my current position, I am not out doing that like I used to. I occasionally still do, just so I can. I feel like it's important being in a leadership position to still go out and do the basic job with everybody, to still go out into the streets and
keep your feet on the ground.
Right. Yeah. If you lose that connection to it and understanding, you become less useful as a leader that's in a position to direct policy and you know, procedures for the department. So in regards to what you're asking about, I think it's a multifaceted thing, that there's so many varied reasons that people end up in situations like what you described, which is a generic description of it. But you know, it for me, and this is one of the hardest parts about staying in law enforcement for me for this long, is that I you know, and this is not a negative towards law enforcement, but it can be easy to become jaded, whether it's in law enforcement or any job, if you deal with something that's frustrating that you can't change, that maybe you started out wanting to, but the rules and the tools just aren't there to change it. But I still genuinely feel sadness when I see somebody that is in those circumstances and don't have a great way to help them. So it's really sad. And I know that we're coming up on a break. So I will continue this because I have more to talk about when we get back.
All right. All the secrets are being shared. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism, because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with J.D. Bro from Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Okay, so you recognize that we had a commercial break coming up, and you kind of truncated your comments.
I jumped the gun. I'm going to officially publicly apologize. I will sit back and let you guys control this. For a moment there,
no.
I thought I was in control of the radio
show.
No,
never give up control, baby. Well, there are a lot of cool things that are going on around here. Some is government-oriented, some is not, which I suppose is a pretty good balance for a lot of the stuff. Dan Price, with his comment this morning, was talking about, you know, if we're known for marijuana and that's what we're staking our claim on, whoops. Okay, fair enough. When you look at the state of California and the legal enforcement of everything that's out there, you know, we can get into some of the federal laws, don't really need to, the state laws, things of that nature. How fluid is it? Are you having to constantly go back to the resource book and go, okay, what does it say today? I know what yesterday it said. What's it saying today?
It's absolutely confusing in a gray area right now, more so than ever. And without taking too much of a political stance one way or the other, I mean, my job isn't to judge whether the law is right or not. My job is to keep the peace and to enforce the laws as needed to keep the peace. In regards to marijuana, like, I mean...
Or any of the other topics. I mean, they're just the fluidity of everything that's out there.
Yeah. I think that in regards to the marijuana specifically, since you got me going down that vein of thought, that, you know, I think that it's tough. Like, I think that, I mean, if the state and the country want to go the way of legalization, well, then I'll go with that and I'll enforce that. But right now, I think with it being federally illegal and state legal and still in the infancy of finding a way for there to be compliance, I think that it's kind of a mess in a lot of ways. I mean, I understand the intention.
Yeah, clarity would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
It's really hard. And I think also one of the things that's not really touched on as much is I feel like that as you take the clandestine nature of it out, the, you know, that people start to become more comfortable about not hiding it like it used to be. And I see a lot of those people that are trying to become legitimate are being victimized at a maybe a record rate of burglaries and robberies because it's easier for people that would do those types of things to find them. And so I think it's created this vacuum of even more dangerous and violent crime going after people that are trying to be legal because they're easier targets than the people who maybe were hiding out in a more clandestine operation in the hills. You know, we have people that are growing it on the side of roads that are legally permitted and stuff, and they want and expect, you know, law enforcement to protect them the same as they would any other law-abiding citizen or business owner. And we do have the intention of doing that. But geographically, because of the location of some of these places, we just can't be there all the time. And I think that...
So they're more exposed.
They're more exposed. And I don't think that they realized that was going to be a consequence of the push towards legalization. And as far as like the permitting process and all the requirements that people have to get into compliance to be part of this legally, it is a mess. And both for people that are trying to navigate that and be legal and be a legitimate business person, but also, and I would even say more so for law enforcement, to interpret what is legal, what's not, what permits do you need? And if you have those, what if you're out of compliance on plants or product? Do we just put you back into compliance? And if so, how does that work? Are we now compliance officers for basically a Food and Drug Administration or agricultural
product? That's exactly where
product?
I was going, ABC it's, or FDA. Yeah.
I understand the intent. I think the infrastructure to properly do it is still not where it needs to be, and that makes it really hard for law enforcement, really hard for people that are trying to do this.
Is there inertia in that direction at the state level that you guys are monitoring all this stuff to, one, to recognize the condition and then to kind of start to focus it, bring it together, address it, or at least understand that there's an issue and, guys, we got to take care of this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that they've known that from the beginning that this wasn't going to be just a flip the light switch. Now it's fixed and ready. I think that if you go back to alcohol, going from its prohibition to a product that was commonly sold and produced, I'm sure there was some of this along the way there too. You know, I don't know if there's a perfect transition for that. I think that it would have been nice had we tried to recognize some of the shortcomings when alcohol switched over to being legal. Maybe there was some stuff, there was some oversight on how
some
that
lessons.
Transition went that we could have learned from, but maybe not. I mean, I haven't done a ton of research on it, but I know that taking something from being illegal and making it legal, there's going to be a process. This one, I think, is even more clouded and more complex because it's not completely legal. So if it was completely legal nationally, it would be worth a whole lot less, right? And there would be a whole lot less reason for people to get all the infrastructure and overhead in place to produce it. You know, you'd boil it down. There'd be the Walmart crowd who would go buy the mass produced by RJ Reynolds. Then there'd be the connoisseur crowd who would go to a cigar shop and buy a higher quality product. But as long as it's illegal in other states and people can come across this and transport it there and make more money on it, it's still a black market commodity. And with that, there will be people circumventing the system, and there will be a lot more violence associated with it.
I think most folks are familiar with the fact that California produces 8 or 9 times what it consumes with marijuana. And it's always just kind of stood out there as this flashing beacon. As you were talking, I just kind of started smiling. I wonder what percentage of the tomatoes California produces or you know, what the factor is, because I don't think we eat that many Roma tomatoes, at least, you know, from what we see on I-5, right? The splat, all of what, how many more times tomatoes or walnuts or almonds or any of the other agricultural products we produce here go outside of the state? If there's a parallel, or if this really is an outlier.
I think it boils down to you have to determine, is California the best place to produce it? And so, without claiming to be an expert on the cultivation of marijuana, I'm not a botanist, but I would, from my understanding, it's a weed, and it will grow almost anywhere. Whether the best marijuana for euphoric purposes or medicinal purposes is produced in Humboldt County or not, I could not say. But I find it hard pressed to believe you couldn't grow it in a climate controlled environment near established aqueducts and
hydroponics,
and grow it anywhere in the world under the right conditions. Yeah. I think that Humboldt is a place where it was done because of the clandestine nature and the rural and the hard to enforce part. And it's kind of just, we became kind of a pioneer place for it. And I think that name will always stay there. But I think that as people, it becomes more legal, that people realize it doesn't make sense to grow it out in the middle of nowhere. And it doesn't have to be done in Humboldt.
Right. And that up and down thing instead of the flat land.
Right. If you can grow it in Salinas in a agricultural area accessible by semi-trucks for mass production and distribution, it would make more sense financially and economically to do that than to have to drive 4 hours on a dirt road to the middle of nowhere past 4 lot gates through hilly, graded, areas of the county that weren't meant to have flat areas. I think that we will always have the namesake because of the history of it, kind of the lore of the counterculture, how it got started here and why it was here, I think is cool, and it's historical, and we will always have that for the connoisseur part. But I think that if it becomes federally legal,
the mass production,
R.J. Reynolds and those people aren't going to be buying stuff in Humboldt unless they want that namesake.
Right. Yeah, there's a reason why they're buying up Bakersfield.
Right.
Okay, Kern County, take it easy. KINS News and Information Time, it's 844.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 848. Final couple minutes this morning with J.D. Bro. So what keeps you going these days?
I think, not to sound cliche, but I mean...
Oh, we are home of cliche.
Home of cliche, okay. I'm old-fashioned in a lot of ways. Whether it be manners and hold the door and the way I bring my kids up. And I think that I still believe in a vision of America that, maybe is romanticized or I grew up thinking it could exist. And whether that be with my family and friends in the inner circle that I have touch with, or, my place as part of the sheriff's office and being guardians for this county, I still am driven and passionate about trying to make things right. And, for me, it's not about where I am in a position or any of those things. The currency that inspires me to do things is that pushing towards doing what's right and feeling good about it and being part of something that's bigger than myself, little things and big things, positive changes and time constraints here. And we talked about homelessness and drugs and all those things. And, I truly believe that I'm solution based. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers, but I'm always going to question, why are we doing this? And is there a better way we can do it? And, you touched on homelessness. So I'm going to use that as an example that, you could throw your hands up in the air at the problems that Humboldt County has with that currently. and say, you know, well, it's everywhere, but we need to be solution based and not just throw our hands up and not just accept it. We need to work on helping get these people into programs or whatever it is they need, and taking back the community and making it safe for everybody. It's everybody's community. And so we can't cater to just one group or the other, but you know, we have to really work as a whole, and it's a community to fix a community.
Ooh, you got dangerously close to that village word. Thanks for coming by, JD.
I'm not from a village, so I don't know that.
Yeah, McKinley Village, right? Yeah. See everybody tomorrow.